Mike, you're in shorts. What's up with that? Of course, the easy answer would be, well, because we're having baptism in a moment, and I don't want to wear pants in a pool. But no, actually, it's because, see, last week I wore a suit, so I'm balancing things out. No, I'm excited about this morning, just as excited as I was last Sunday, because this is Easter part two, if you will. And so before we actually begin, let's give this one to God. Father God, we come to you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, whom we celebrate not just on Easter, but celebrate every day, and it's because of him, his resurrection through the power of you, Lord, and the gift of the Holy Spirit that follows, Lord, that's why we're here. And so, Father, I do ask that this morning would be a morning, Lord, that you might let us join you. Father, I thank you so much for the gift that you give, and we pray that all in your glory. Amen. So I want to give just a brief message, and yes, I am capable, to talk a little bit about what exactly it is that we're doing today, because in a moment, like I said, we're going on a field trip. We're going to go outside, and we're going to gather around a pool, just a small puddle of water, if you will. We're going to be a bunch of Phillips with a few Ethiopians, if you will. We're going to go on out there, and we're going to baptize, and it's going to be right where, I mean, I realize the street out there, not necessarily the busiest street in the world, but anybody who wants to walk by is going to see what's going on, and we're going to go out there, and we're going to praise Jesus through the act of baptism. But I want to talk a little bit about what baptism is and what's going on. Why do we even bother with it? So obviously, when we talk about baptism, we can immediately go to, well, why should I be baptized? Well, Jesus was baptized. Matthew 3. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. This is John the Baptist. I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Can you imagine Jesus saying, would you please baptize me? And Jesus answered him, let it be so now, for thus is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented, like John would say no. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were open to him. I'm praying that the heavens stay open for us. It's nice, sunny out there. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased. So when we come to baptism, we could simply say, well, Jesus was baptized, so I need to be baptized. And we could probably just leave it at that if we really wanted to. But, oh, it's so much deeper, so much richer than that. See, Jesus actually says, when he approaches John, the reason I need to be baptized, keep in mind, Jesus saying, I need to be baptized, is to fulfill all righteousness. In other words, that this is something that has to happen for people to understand who I am. Now, I do want to make sure that we understand that baptism is a visual testimony. It's before the people, so the people might understand who, well, the person being baptized is. In this case, who we are in Jesus. Baptism is not required. It's not part of the law. It's not something you have to do. It should be something that is desired to do. Again, because it's this testimony of who you say you are, what your intentions are. The intentions are simple. I want to follow Jesus. And so we come to the water. But it's not a requirement. It's not part of the law. In fact, if we jump over to Psalm 40, it says, in sacrifice and offering, you have not delighted, but you have given me an open ear. Burnt offering and sin offering, you have not required. Then I said, behold, I have come in the scroll of the book. It is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. Again, just such as, I mean, offerings, all of these things, not required. What is required? My heart. That's what's required. Jesus says, follow me with all your heart. Follow God with all your mind, your soul, your strength. And so when we come to the baptism, this is what it looks like. If we go to the writer of Hebrews, he would tell us, for on the one hand, a former commandment is set aside because of its weakness and uselessness, for the law made nothing perfect. Catch that? The law made nothing perfect. But on the other hand, a better hope is introduced, through which we draw near to God. And it was not without an oath, for those who formerly became priests were made such without an oath. But this is one that was made a priest with an oath. We're talking about Jesus here. By the one who said to him, "The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever." Do you remember that you are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God? Do you know this? This makes Jesus the grantor, or guarantor, a better covenant. This makes Jesus absolutely the better covenant. When Jesus says to the men at the communion, "This is my body broken for you. This is a new covenant. This is my blood shed for you. This is a new covenant. This is a new relationship." Jesus, starting off his ministry before going into anything else, he starts it off with baptism. Why? So that there is not a moment you can say, "Is he really him?" From the beginning, he said, "This is who I am." From the beginning, the Father says, "This is my Son." It should have just begun there and stopped there. Jesus shouldn't have had to have done any more than just listen to those words coming from the heavens, "This is my Son, whom I am well pleased." But Jesus doesn't stop there. See, because that's the beauty of Jesus. That's the beauty of following Jesus, is it doesn't stop there. It keeps going. I get excited about Easter. I love Easter because what Easter is not the end. It's the beginning. It's the starting point. It's not the finish line. It's the starting blocks. It's the race that's before us, and it all begins with Easter. And for Jesus, baptism is the beginning of him getting us to just the starting block. I love Easter. I love baptism. But I'll tell you, I only love it because I love Jesus, and I love what he is doing through it all. Now, there's no room, scripturally speaking, for anybody to come along, even though there would be those who would doubt, those who would detract. There's no room for people to doubt who Jesus really is. But what he's doing here is this act of righteousness, if you will. This righteousness is a way of reaffirming, and that's exactly what baptism is. Baptism is testifying, it's reaffirming. For some, baptism should happen at the point of salvation. But the reality is this, don't we? We let life happen. We let life get in the way of things. And eventually, even though we say we follow Jesus, at some point in time, we may wake up one day and look back and say, "Well, I've kind of veered a little bit, or a lot." Baptism is that moment to reaffirm. It's to reaffirm exactly what's happened, that God the Father loves you so much that he sent his Son, Jesus Christ. And then Jesus then turned around and died on the cross. Why? Just because that's what people... No, that's not what people do. People don't just go and die for you. No, he died. He died for because there's sin. There's separation between you and God the Father. There's sin. There's sin that needs to be paid for. The big word that we would use there needs to be an act of atonement. We need to get right with God. And so this is what Jesus does on the cross. He pays the price. He pays the price that we might know his Father personally, intimately. But see, it doesn't stop there. No, it doesn't stop at the cross. It goes to the resurrection. And these are all important things, because when we get to baptism, these are all pictures. Baptism is a picture of the cross. It's a picture of the resurrection. Because, see, with the resurrection, I mean, come on, he rose again. I mean, he has risen. Thank you. He has risen indeed. That, I know. Only once a year? No, every day. He is risen. He is risen indeed. See, that's Easter. This is Easter. It doesn't have to be on the calendar to be Easter. This is Easter. Every time someone comes to realize this, Easter happens. Understand that when we realize that our sin is keeping us from our Father, and it's in that moment that we realize that he paid the price through his Son. That sin, the price, is just so huge, so steep that we could never. And he does it. And not only does he do that, but then Jesus turns around and he rises from the dead by the power of the Father, proving who truly holds life and who has power over death. See, that's That's when Easter happens. When we choose to follow Jesus rather than simply listen to Jesus, simply acknowledge Jesus. It's when we choose to follow him that we die to our old self, that there is new life, that Easter happens. We go to the words of Peter, 1 Peter chapter 1. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world. He was in the beginning, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, that's me, that's Peter, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. See, not in anything else, it's in God. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. See, we don't have that pure heart, not until Jesus. Since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. Do you understand what it means to be resurrected? These are words of Peter. I want you to think about Peter's story for a moment. Understand who Peter is. See, this is the man that Jesus comes to while he is on his father's boat. He's working on the boat. And Jesus comes to him while he's in that boat and he says, follow me. You follow me. It's a personal invitation from God himself. This is the same man that Jesus calls out of a boat in the middle of the sea. And Peter gets out of the boat and walks on water. This is the same man that he leaned into at a meal and said, you're going to deny me. You're going to walk away. Just three times. Three times tonight alone. This is the same man. And he did. But see, this is also the same man who was yet again on a boat while Jesus was on a distant shore. And it's the same man that saw Jesus on the shore, the very one that he denied three times. It's the same man, Peter, who got out of that boat and swam faster than anybody. Honestly, Michael Phelps, I don't care how many gold medals he has, Michael Phelps would never have caught up to Peter. Peter was going to get to Jesus as quick as he possibly could. It's the same man. That's Peter. That's us. See, and it's there on that distant shore that Jesus asked Peter to follow again. He asked him three times, do you love me, Peter? And Peter answers three times, yes, Lord. Then feed my sheep. Three times in a boat. Three times in denial. Three times restored. Do you understand how many times you can come to Jesus? Every single moment of your life. One time, two times, three times, 300 times. That's Easter. Do you understand that you're never too far from God? Peter, personal invitation with Jesus at the boat. Every time in those boat moments, he's just a little bit further from Jesus. And do you understand there's never a time when he's too far? You are never too far. I love that. You're never too far. And I would say even this morning, perhaps, you know, there are some that are here that you, last week, weeks before, you said, yeah, I want to be baptized. I want you to understand that even if you weren't here last week, because this is the first time you ever even heard this, do you understand something? That the water that we're about to go to, that water's for you too. There's no special class that needs to be done. There's no special words of wisdom that need to be imparted. Here's the question. Do you love Jesus? Do you want to follow Jesus? Well, just like the Ethiopian with Philip, well, there's water. What's preventing me? What's preventing you? Water's there. And I want you to know that this morning. But see, it's on that distant shore as Peter and the men get together, and it's there that Jesus gathers his men together, and he gives them some last words, some last instruction. But I want you to pay attention to a little piece of it first. It says, now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him there, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. I want to stop right there. It says, some doubted. 3 years of ministry they've been with him. 3 years they've seen miracles. They've seen the dead raised. They've seen the sick healed, the blind with sight. They've seen it all. They've seen the risen Savior himself. And yet there's still this little bit of doubt clinging to them. They're right there with the resurrected Savior. They're right there in the presence of anything that they can call anything God. They're there, and there's this doubt. Why are they doubting? Well, they didn't know what's next. This has never happened before. They had reserved themselves to a moment of complete disappointment. He's dead, that's it, it's over. To find out it's not over, it's just beginning. What do we do next? Some of them doubted because, I mean, let's face it, what do you do with a risen God? Well, they worshiped him. They got that part. But they don't know what's next. And Jesus comforts them with the most comforting words. And I know that maybe we don't see them as comforting right away, but listen to it. It's right there at the end. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. All authority. God the Father has given me this to you. You're mine. There is nothing to fear. You're mine. There is nothing greater than this. There is nothing greater than me. You're mine. If you have heard the Father, you have answered the call, you accept me as Lord, you're mine. And because of that, the authority I'm giving to you this promise. You're mine. You don't do it on your own, is what he's saying. You're not going to do it on your own. In fact, I'm going to make it even better. I'm going to send the Spirit. I'm going to send that third part of the Trinity, the third part of God, so they might be complete. They know the Father because of the Son, and now the Spirit is going to take them to places they never thought. All the way back to the beginning, there's a disciple, Nathanael. Nathanael kind of looks at him like, what good could this man be? Who is this Jesus? Jesus says, you haven't seen anything yet. 3 years, and Nathanael still hasn't seen anything yet because it's just going to start. But look what this authority tells us. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, God. Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Let me say it again. I am with you always. You are not alone. You are not designed to do it alone. I'm with you always. And so what is it that we need to be doing? If we're going to be followers of Jesus, what do we need to be doing? We need to be making disciples. We need to be baptizing. That's what we're doing. I know there are some churches, and I'm not saying this is a bad thing. I'm just saying, you know, some churches, it's been a long time since they've seen some baptisms. Or maybe they set aside baptism for once a year. Man, if we could, I'll keep that water full here every week if we need to. We should. Make disciples, baptize. Teach. You notice how teach comes second. I love that. God's not calling you to figure it all out, then follow. He says follow, and we're going to figure it out together. See, these are the commands. Make disciples, baptize, teach. But there's a fun little word there at the very beginning. It's not a command. Sometimes people teach it as a command. The word's go. Go is not a command. Go is an assumed word. Go is to say, well, if you're following Jesus, go. This is not an option. You go. You're going to do this. You're going to go. And so you could read this truly as saying, therefore, since you're going, or as you're going, go in such a way that you make disciples. That go in such a way that you baptize. Go in such a way that you teach everything about me. Because see, as a follower of Jesus, you're going. That's what you're doing. You're going. You're always going because the Easter is always happening. The gospel never changes. You keep going with it. There's great comfort. Where do I go? That's the question we should be asking. Not what do I do next, but where do I go? Wherever he takes you. You know, in Acts, we see that he points out a couple of towns. He said, you go to this town, you go to that town, you go to this region, you go even further to the ends of the world. Fathers, can I tell you something? For you, the place you need to go first, your children. This is where you go. Children, as you grow, your families. Some of you here will be called to go beyond Sio. Yes, there is things beyond Sio. I have seen it. It's not a myth. You will go. Some will go further. There's somebody here who's going to go somewhere where I'm not a betting man, but I'd lay the money down that the people that are sitting around them would say, yeah, that he'll never go. And that he's going to end up in Africa. He's going to end up in some Muslim country in Russia. He's going to end up somewhere, and there's going to be that person saying, I never saw it coming. Here's the beauty of it. God did. God does. Go. We go. As followers of Christ, we can't sit still. We go. As followers, can I say this? I know I just thought of this right here. As Christians, it's like we're ADHD, right? That's really what we should be. We think that's a bad thing. No, we should be constantly going, where do I go? Where am I going? I'm hearing that there's a little guy there, and he's making lots of noise, and I want you to know that he is welcome and understand that, you know what? That's what we're supposed to be. We, as Christians, we should be making the noise. As Christians, we should be going everywhere we go, going, baptizing, teaching, discipling, bringing people to him. This is what, we don't hide it here, okay? I want you to understand, I love our baptismal. We're doing it outside. Why are we doing it outside? Because, you know, sometimes you just want to do things a little bit differently. I want you to understand that, you know, baptism doesn't have to happen inside here, and it doesn't have to even happen on the church grounds. You can go down to the river. I would have totally taken you guys down to the river. That water is already cold enough. But, you know, I'd take you down to the river, and we would freeze, but we would freeze in Jesus, and it's good. I want to share this with you before we go to baptism. That the water is for you. The water is for us. There will be those who will be in the water and they will be baptized. They will go into the water, and we have that picture. It's the picture of death and resurrection. It's a cleansing. You're not getting into heaven any easier, quicker. It's not a get out of jail free card. Or you get in a little bit wetter, a little bit cleaner behind the ears, maybe. But you know, it's a picture. It's a testimony. But here, I want you to understand that's only one part of it. This is another reason why we're going to be doing it out there, just for this time, because I wanted to do this. I had this picture. God gave me this picture because see, the idea is that when we are baptized, that's only part of it. The other part is the rest of you. It's those who are being testified to. Because see, if you are saying you are a follower of Christ, you understand that it is your responsibility for those who are baptized to lift them up. It is your responsibility to spur them on to furthering their life with Christ. It's your responsibility. And so God gave me this picture. When we baptize, you know, we should be surrounding them. So that's what we're going to literally surround them. That's baptism. Baptism is not a one-person thing because we're not designed to be a one-person thing. We're designed to be a church. We're designed to be his people. We're designed to be followers of Christ. And together, together with the power of the Holy Spirit, we go. I want you to know the water's there for you. Even if you didn't come with a change of clothes, the water's there for you. Even if you didn't think this is what this was all about, you're just here because, you know, I'm here because I know somebody else getting baptized. Maybe you're here this morning thinking, I thought today was Easter. I didn't know it was last week. That's okay. But you're thinking, no, today is Easter, because it is. And the water's there for you. And I want you to understand that when we look at God's Word, and I know there are some people that you get afraid of God's Word. There's complicated things here, and it doesn't make sense. Do you understand that this word is God speaking to you? Do you understand that? Do you understand that this word... This word is God trying to communicate to you as best as he possibly can. No. Not the best as he possibly can. The way he chose to. He loves you so much. And what I wanted to do, I wanted to close this time with reading to you one more chunk of verses that really deal with the picture of baptism. I was originally just going to read it, but this weekend I spent some time with some men, and we looked at the scripture and we were challenged. We were challenged to take the scripture, and I don't know if you've ever done this before, but to pray the scripture. Don't use your words, use his words. And to pray the scripture. And it was just the greatest moment, because suddenly here was the verse that I had planned on closing with, and it was one of these verses that they said, here, we want you to pray. But they wanted us to do something special with it in the first place. In fact, I have a couple of guys from this way and this way that I'm going to ask to come forward to help me pass these out. Dan, could you help me pass them out as well, or help them pass them out? Just make sure you get one. Everybody get one. I don't care, little, tall, big, small, in a box with a fox. Just grab one of these. I'm going to have it up on the screen as well. But this is Romans 6. And what we're about to do, I realize that there are some people who might think this is odd. I just want to say welcome to church. But what we're going to do with this verse, what I want you to do, and whether you want to do it right this split second, if you've got a pen or a pencil, you grab that. But this is Romans 6, and there's some blanks there. This isn't just a fill in the blank like I left certain words out. What I've left out of this is your name. And this is what I want you to consider, as if these verses truly, truly written to you from God himself. And I pray that this be your prayer to understand who you are and how precious you are to God at looking at his words. And so Romans 6, starting in verse 3. And by the way, if you go to compare this to your Bible, anything that's italicized, that's not actually in the Bible, but based on the text, it's what is implied. That's a little Bible teacher thing that we find. So I want you to understand that's what's going on there. But I'm going to read this as if it's for me. But I want you to read it for you. But Mike, I love you so much that when I baptized you into Christ Jesus, I baptized you all the way in, even into his death. Therefore, you have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through my glory as his Father, so you too might walk in newness of life. For if you, Mike, have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly you shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Mike, you can know this, that your old self was crucified with him in order that your body of sin might be rendered powerless, so that you would no longer be a slave to sin. For he who died is freed from sin. Now, Mike, if you have died with Christ, you can believe that you shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. It's master over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to me. That's God. Mike, I love you so much that I've done absolutely everything necessary for you to consider yourself dead to sin, but alive to me in Christ Jesus. The moment this world tells you you're not up to par, the moment that somebody discourages you, and even if they call themselves a Christian, I want you to stop and I want you to remember what God says about you. Anytime that maybe you even start to think you're just you're on your own, I want you to remember who God says you are. I'm going to talk to the dads for a moment. Dads, let your children know who God says they are. Moms, let your children know I'm not talking about parents of just little ones. You've got older ones. Let them know who God says they are. You be reminded of who God says you are. See, we don't just come on Easter, sing "Up from the Grave He Arose," get the big hats and the suits and the flowers and all these things. We don't just come along Easter and say, it's a great thing. It's a good thing that God did. No, it's an incredible thing that God is constantly doing. And why did he do it? Because he loves you so much. So we come to the water. We're going to go to the water, and we come to the water, and this is the moment to say, Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I want to follow you. Jesus, I can't do this on my own. I am so tired of trying doing it on my own. Saying, Jesus, would you let me be held up by those around me at this moment? It's for those who are around the water. You say, Jesus, will you enable me to let that person know how much you love them daily? I want you to know that God loves you. There is nothing more important than that. Everything else we ever do here means absolutely nothing if it isn't rooted in the fact that God loves you. Some of you are here this morning simply because there's a friend being baptized, and you're like, yeah, I want to support my friend. And maybe you're thinking, I don't even know if this whole church thing's for me at all. Don't think of it as the church thing for you. Think of it as God is for you. Like, literally, he is for you. He's rooting for you. He's calling your name. He's asking you to come. His son is saying, would you please follow? Because I've got the most excellent of way to show you. He loves you so much. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to go out there. I don't even know if I have to say this, need to say this. I don't even know if I want to say this, but I'm going to say it. I know that right now for some, there might be this kind of thing, well, you know, service is over, so it wouldn't really be that big of a deal. No, please don't. You go that way. You go around that water. You crowd in on that water. By the way, not that this should be the incentive, but we've got hot dogs afterwards, so. No, seriously, we have food, and we'd love for you to stick around, fellowship with one another, lift up those who have been baptized, give them a big, wet hug. All right. Father God, we thank you so much for who you are, Lord. We thank you that you have sent your son, the Father, not just to die on the cross. We do not serve a dead God. Father, I thank you that it was by your will and by him submitting to your will. That, Father, it was by your plan that you would allow your son to come and die in my place, in our place, to suffer the sins of the world. Nothing he was guilty of. And yet, Lord, in your will, in your power, you raised him from the grave. And the Father, that same Spirit who was there in the beginning, that same Spirit that descended down onto your Son at his baptism, Lord, is the same Spirit that you give us now that resides within us as we accept you as Lord and Savior, as we come to realize that you are God. And we want to follow. Father, I thank you for those who are about to go to the water. Father, I pray that Lord, in their own special way, Lord, that your Spirit would descend on them in a way of saying, this is my son, this is my daughter, whom I am well pleased. Father, we thank you for this time. And Lord, may this baptism be to your glory. Amen.